Penguin Random House Audio presents The Schoolhouse Gate, Public Education, the Supreme Court, and the Battle for the American Mind by Justin Driver. Read for you by Robertson Dean. Introduction. On June 5th, 1940, hours before Catherine Meyer would marry Philip Graham at her family's sprawling, lavish estate in Mount Kisco, New York, the happy couple joined an intimate collection of friends for what was meant to be a celebratory luncheon. It would have been difficult to envision a more stately location for the gathering, as the property called Seven Springs Farm contained 1,000 acres of land and a nearly 30,000-square-foot Georgian mansion, boasting some 14 bedrooms, 3 swimming pools, 2 servants' quarters, and its own elevator. Despite this grand setting, the pre-wedding luncheon proved anything but festive. Instead, what began as an engaging discussion rapidly descended into a ferocious dispute, with several members of the wedding party, including both bride and groom, excoriating Justice Felix Frankfurter for an opinion that he issued on behalf of the U.S. Supreme Court only 2 days earlier. Frankfurter, who prior to joining the court had been a legendary professor at Harvard Law School, where he was also Philip Graham's beloved mentor, usually relished nothing more than vigorous, even combative intellectual exchange. Indeed, the New York Times would remember Frankfurter as the greatest talker of his time, and noted, "He loved to argue, his head darting here and there, his hand suddenly gripping the listener's elbow as he made a point." In Mount Kisco, however, the silver-tongued Frankfurter received more than he could handle. Even close to 6 decades after the incident, the ugly scene at Seven Springs remained with Catherine Graham, as she recalled in her memoir, Personal History. Felix loved and encouraged loud and violent arguments, which everyone usually enjoyed, but this time the argument went over the edge into bitter passion. Those in attendance reviled Frankfurter's opinion as deeply disturbing and shocking, she noted. The debate grew so intense, so strained, that the groom's best man dissolved into emotion as he emitted not merely discreet sniffles, but full-fledged waterworks, shedding great large tears that he permitted to stream down his crimson cheeks. Frankfurter gamely sought to defend his view, but the onslaught provoked the justice to lose his composure, exclaiming that he would never again discuss judicial business in social settings. Catherine Graham recollected that the argument went on and on, persisting so long, in fact, that they inadvertently kept the Lutheran minister waiting to perform the ceremony for more than an hour. The row did not finally dissipate, she noted, until Frankfurter grabbed her arm with his always iron hand and said, "Come along, Kay. We will go for a walk in the woods and calm down." What legal decision elicited this acrimony on such an improbable occasion? The underlying dispute dated back 5 years to a community located roughly 200 miles southwest of Seven Springs, but whose reality stood much further removed still from the heights of Mount Kisco's rarefied air in the valleys of Pennsylvania's coal country. On October 22, 1935, in a small town suitably, if unimaginatively, called Minersville, a 10-year-old public school student named William Gobitis refused to recite the Pledge of Allegiance along with his fifth-grade classmates. When Gobitis's teacher noticed that he had not joined the others in saluting the American flag, she marched right over and tried to force his arm into the proper position. But Gobitis managed to resist her entreaties, locking his arm into place, with his right hand clutching his pocket. In response, Minersville's notoriously austere school superintendent, Charles Rowdebush, contacted state education officials to ensure that he possessed the authority to expel Gobitis for this brazen act of insubordination. It made no difference to Rowdebush that Gobitis attributed his unwillingness to recite the pledge to his faith as a Jehovah's Witness. As Gobitis subsequently explained in a letter to the school board, he and many other witnesses, including his older sister Lillian, interpreted Exodus's prohibition on worshiping graven images to preclude participation in the ritual. "I do not salute the flag, not because I do not love my country," he explained, "but because I love God more, and I must obey his commandments." Despite the claim that the pledge required
Sample complete. Ready to continue?